Hello and welcome to Mundo Albiceleste's podcast. In a long time, I'm Sebastian Garcia and I'm here with John in Malaysia. Hello, John.
Hello, Seba, and hello to everyone here. Well, I guess the topic of this particular podcast is going to be probably the most interesting that we ever had. And to spice things up a bit, you know, we would like to welcome back our good friend Roy, who's been on holiday with his family for the past few months. Welcome back, Roy.
Hey, thanks, John. Hi, Seba. It's great to be back. And, you know, what better occasion than for a podcast against Brazil?
Yeah, well, we can't wait for the game to come. We're recording this on a Thursday, only a couple of days to go for this big match. And let me start with a question to you two. And how confident or how afraid are you feeling ahead of this game, John?
Wow, that's a very tough question, Seba. I would say it's probably 50-50. You know, it's very hard for me to say that I'm really confident that this team will get the result. But at the same time, you know, I'm also trying to be optimist. You know, you never know that surprise can happen. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
And you, Roy?
I'm the same as John. I'm extremely, extremely nervous about this. The thing that scares me the most is that our defense hasn't been the best. In Brazil, no one has been able to stop them on the counterattack. So even if we're up 1-0 or 2-0, the second Brazil gets a counterattack, no one has been able to stop them, and that's going in, and it's going to change the match completely. But you know what? I'm gonna say we're going to win, but it's not going to be easy.
Well, in my opinion, it's the same thing I've been saying for the last couple of months. I'm really, really worried that our tactic is the one that suits Brazil the better. I mean, we play the kind of game they really thrive against. So that's my main concern. Because we're playing at home, we're going to be all out on the attack, and they'll probably find some spaces to launch their feared counterattack. I really hope we play smart. I really hope we don't play desperate. And for me, the key will be whoever scores first. And not because I think it's necessarily going to be a tight game. It could be that it's an open game, but because I think the team that scores the first goal is going to be the winner, because it will change the way that the game will be played. If Brazil score the first goal like they did in the Copa America final or the friendly in London, and they won 3-0 in both occasions, they're going to have the upper hand, and we're going to be chasing the game and playing even more to their favorite tactic. And if we score the first goal, then Brazil will have to change their game plan, and they are going to have to be chasing the game, and Messi and our other forward will have more room to play and to hit them on the counterattack. So let's discuss a little bit about this probable lineup that we will have. Maradona has been training on Wednesday with a lineup that we already published on Mundo Albiceleste, and we have Andújar on goal, then Zanetti, and a couple of center backs that they play every week together at Vélez, Sebastián Domínguez and Nicolás Otamendi, and then Heinze as a left back. Then we have the central midfielders pair of Javier Mascherano and Juan Sebastián Verón. And on the flanks, we have Maxi on the right and Jesús Dátolo on the left. And up front, Lionel Messi and Carlos Tevez. So, John, this couple of central defenders is probably what's worrying a lot of our fans. And because we never seen them play together for Argentina, and Otamendi only has a couple of games under his belt, it's gonna be the if he plays, it's gonna be his international debut for Sebastián Domínguez. How do you see developing this situation?
Well, what can I say is that the positive side of this pairing could be the fact that these two players know each other's game very well. Like what you say, they play together at club level. But yeah, of course, the thing that scares me the most is all those unknown factors. The fact that they haven't played for the national team yet, and furthermore, you know, they have been put on to play in their first match against such a very big occasion. I'm worried whether, you know, they can able to sustain the pressure, you know, and hopefully the pairing will work in Diego's favor. I really hope that Diego gets this right, this one.
And Roy, what are the reference you have? Maybe perhaps I can help you with a little description of Sebastián Domínguez, but are you worried at all? Are you confident in this couple of players? Because Otamendi, he didn't have much experience and he had a great game in Ecuador, except a couple of errors that hopefully ended up in nothing. But he had a great game, and then he played in Russia. He did okay. The main question will be Sebastián Domínguez. How do you see this situation?
It's either going to be the best thing Diego has ever done, or it's going to backfire on us, and it's going to cost us the game. Domínguez, like you said, it's going to be his international debut if he starts. So that's that right there is a minus factor. He does play with Otamendi. That's a plus. Really, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Like I said, either good or bad. But you know what? I don't know why I have confidence in Domínguez, and he's going to play his heart out. I really think he's going to play his heart out. I'm going to say this is going to turn out good. Hopefully, I don't eat my words, but who knows?
Well, Domínguez certainly has some experience facing Brazilians, because he, like Carlitos Tevez, he played for Corinthians in the past, like Mascherano did as well. And then he returned to Argentina, and he's been playing better than before he moved to Brazil. He's good in the air, he's fast, and he's got the body. He's got a decent size, or a very good size for a central defender, and the speed that probably will allow him to deal with the likes of Robinho or Luis Fabiano or even Kaká, if anyone in the world can deal with Kaká in terms of speed and size. And what about the our fullbacks, Zanetti and, I have to say, Heinze?
Well, Zanetti has been there before. You know, I really have confidence in him, and I'm not worried about him at all. Heinze, on the other hand, this match was made for him. That's really how I see it. It's going to be a battle of a fight. It's going to be a fight, and, you know, Heinze, this is what he plays for. But I'm afraid the passion and everything is going to get in the way. I'm really nervous about Heinze. The counterattacks, oh my God, it's giving me nightmares just thinking about it. If Heinze has a good match, you know what? Whenever Heinze does have a good match, it turns out really good. And when he doesn't, it turns out brutal. So hopefully he does have a good match. He's been there before. He's done it. Hopefully he can do it again.
So moving to the midfield, and if we're always talking about probables here, we don't know that this is going to be the starting lineup. It certainly looks like it will, but we have no certainties. But let's keep it with this probable lineup that we saw on Wednesday, and talk about Mascherano and Verón playing together in the center of midfield. How do you see that, John? Mascherano will be chasing everyone, and Verón will be hoping to be the creative force from the center of the pitch.
Well, at the moment, I think that's the best pairing that we have. We definitely need Mascherano. You know, he's definitely going to be chasing around Kaká and everyone else. And in terms of providing some wonderful assists to our strikers, I can only think Verón is the best player there at the moment. I wouldn't be too sure about some other opinion about saying that Gago should be there. No, I think this is the best.
Well, certainly Verón has more experience and playing against Brazilians, he also won the Copa Libertadores final. Of course, yes, it's a club and not their national team. And Brazil is much stronger than Cruzeiro, of course. But also Argentina is stronger than Estudiantes. And Verón was man of the match in the final in Brazil. He knows how to play against Brazilians. He has a goal against Brazil in the past, in a friendly game in Buenos Aires that I remember. And he's perhaps playing the best of his career, the best football of his career lately. He certainly has the motivation, and he has a very good relationship with Messi, both on and off the pitch. And that combination. We saw some flashes against Venezuela. Yes, again, a different rival, but their ability to play together is there. So maybe we can benefit from that pair, from the combination of Verón and Messi playing together from midfield, and the ability of Verón to play long balls as well, to play balls behind the back of the defenders that Messi and Tevez can benefit from. So I really hope that Verón has a great game, and I think he could grow in confidence and become an essential part of our team. And on the flanks, we'll probably have Maxi Rodriguez on the left and Jesús Dátolo. So I see these two as quite opposite, as in Maxi had a great history with Argentina, but he's been not playing very, very good in recent times. And on the other hand, Dátolo only had one game, and the first ball he sent him to the back of the net. So he had a great debut, only played a couple of minutes, but he certainly looks to be on form, and he benefits from the absence of Jonas Gutierrez and the suspension of Angel Di Maria. So how do you see our team playing down the flanks, Roy?
It's going to be essential for us that Maxi plays the best football of his life right now. With Atletico Madrid, he has been very good lately. And with Argentina, he hasn't been very good lately. If he can regain the form that he had in 2000, there's no doubt in my mind we're winning the match, no doubt. Dátolo, the occasion might be a bit too big for him. You know, it's only a second international gap, and it's against Brazil, and all the pressure in the world's on this team come Saturday. If he could perform the same way he did against Russia, then you know what? Why not? I think he should have a good match. His form lately has been very good. We're going to need him to be very electric, the same way that Di Maria has been whenever he's played for us. We're going to need all the help we can get coming from midfield. You know, Mascherano and Verón are going to stay there wherever they are. Maxi, Dátolo, we're going to need them. They're going to have to help out Messi and Tevez, because there's no way Messi and Tevez can do this on their own.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Dátolo will probably be the key to this game, because if he's as successful as he was against Russia, he's going to be a concern for Maicon or whoever plays as a right back for them. I believe it's going to be Maicon, and probably they're going to play Dani Alves slightly out of position as left back, so they can or they hope to neutralize Messi's cut-ins from the right. If Messi plays a little inclined to the right, and he cuts inside from the right, that's he's going to be playing towards Dani Alves's favorite foot, the right, and probably Dátolo is going to be a key, trying to neutralize Maicon's runs forward, and if he can benefit from the presence of Messi and Tevez around him, he could probably avoid Maicon from joining in the prevent Maicon from joining the attack for Brazil, and be a source of concern for him defensively. So that's one of the keys to this game, I think. And the other one will be how Argentina can get past Gilberto Silva and Felipe Melo. They have a very solid central midfield with these two, and the only hope for Argentina to win this game is to find a way around these two. So, John, this is a question I have for you, and also for Roy, but let's start with you. Is there anything else other than their counterattack that you are afraid of from Brazil?
Well, let's forget about their counterattacks for the moment. Let's talk about how are we going to score against them in the first place. The partnership between Lucio and Juan in central defense, it's very immense. And let's not forget about their goalkeeper, Julio Cesar, who is in top form. I'm thinking right now, you know, I'm just thinking, how are we going to go about with these three guys there and try to score a goal in the first place? Something that we have been trying in the last 180 minutes, but yet we didn't manage to do so.
Yeah, well, they only conceded 6 goals in 14 games so far in the World Cup qualifying. So only one defeat for them, and that's something that really concerns me. And they're really solid at the back, and this is not your typical Brazilian team. They used to concede a lot, but then score double than you, and now they're not doing that as much. They have drawn a lot of games, 6 games in 14, and that's why they're still not guaranteed of a place in South Africa. But if it was based on their defensive performances, they will certainly be on their way to the next World Cup. And is anything else you worry about from Brazil, Roy?
Definitely the set pieces. They're very strong in the air. They know how to score from set pieces, and they know how to defend them. If you look at most of our players, the tallest one is probably, I would say, Maxi Ribeirão. The rest are fairly average to short. If you look at Brazil, they're mostly, all of them are tall, except for probably Robinho. Definitely, yeah, set pieces are scary. And not only that, not only does Brazil score a lot of set pieces, but we concede a lot of set pieces. Mm. So, yeah, it's definitely scary.
Yeah, well, that's something that we certainly have to keep an eye open for during the game. Because I've seen Brazil in the Confederations Cup, and they score plenty from set pieces and counterattacks, the other big source of goals for them. So the way we are right now, two days before the game, all tickets sold out, and this is something that's keeping our minds busy, and we are not even thinking that after Brazil we have to go to Paraguay, and it's not an easy venue for us. We always seem to struggle against Paraguay, and even though they're not as good as they started in this campaign in the World Cup qualifiers, they certainly are a very difficult team to be facing. And how crucial will be this result against Brazil ahead of the game against Paraguay, John?
Definitely it's going to be crucial, because the standings, as you can see, is pretty tight, and we need to win this game in order to give ourselves some room to breathe, so that when we go to Paraguay, you know, our confidence will be really high, the morale of the team is on a high as well, and we will go there with a positive mindset that, hey, we can actually win this game too.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, especially because Paraguay, on the other hand, they have a rather easy fixture, and they play twice at home in this doubleheader. So they're hosting Bolivia on Saturday, and then they host us. And 6 points from them in this doubleheader will guarantee them of a place in South Africa. And there's every chance that Paraguay will have 3 more points by the time they host us, because at home to Bolivia, they're hot favorites to win it. How do you see the situation developing, Roy?
It's, for Paraguay, it's a good situation. For us, not so good. Like you mentioned, yeah, Paraguay is probably going to get all 6 points against Bolivia and us. But you know what? For us, that depends how we face off against Brazil. If we beat Brazil, that's a huge morale boost. If we lose, heading into the Paraguay game, chances are we're going to be extremely desperate, and we're going to try even that much harder to score. And it might leave us vulnerable at the back. So we really need to beat Brazil in order not only to get the 3 points, but psychologically it would be a huge boost, because we can't afford to drop 3 points. We need at least, in my opinion, a minimum of 4 points by the end of both of these matches.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. It's going to be scary.
Where do I sign for those 4 points to be guaranteed? I am willing to sign it right now. So, and also, if we lose against Brazil and Ecuador get a win at Colombia, we will be 5th in the standings and virtually in real danger of missing out of the next World Cup. And I certainly see a chance for Ecuador to win it in Colombia, and we can only hope that they don't. And also, they have two games away from home this time. Paraguay, they play twice at home, and Ecuador are in the opposite, as they play twice away. They play Colombia, and then they go to La Paz to face Bolivia. So, ideally, for Argentina, Ecuador. I mean, the ideal situation for Argentina is for Ecuador to lose these two and give us some room to breathe, even if we don't succeed and if we don't get 4 or 6 or 3 or 1 point from these two games that we're facing right now. But let's not go ahead of ourselves and concentrate again on the game against Brazil. And to do that, let's take a look at the history of the recent encounters between Argentina and Brazil. So what's the retrospective of this Clásico in South America when it comes to World Cup qualifiers, Roy?
Well, obviously the latest one took place in Brazil, where we drew 0-0 last year. But in terms of qualifiers in Argentina against Brazil, it's not bad. It's pretty good. We have a 100% record. The first time we faced them was, oddly enough, on September 5th in 2001.
Yeah, so, well, that's a good thing. That's a good omen.
Yeah, well, hopefully it is. Hopefully it is. That match, we beat them 2-1. Brazil's own goal was scored by Ayala. So, again, Gallardo scored for us to make it 1-1. But then Chris scored for Brazil an own goal. That's how we won 2-1. El Capitano, Javier Zanetti, played in that match. So, again, 8 years ago, and Zanetti still played. The last one in Buenos Aires was on June 8, 2005. We beat Brazil 3-1. Hernan Crespo scored twice for us, while Riquelme scored a fantastic goal from outside the box. And Roberto Carlos scored the consolation goal for Brazil. The players who played in that match that are still playing with us, Javi Mascherano, Gabriel Ence, and sadly enough, Fabricio Colocini.
Yeah, and that was a Brazil side that contained Kaká, Adriano, Ronaldinho, Roberto Carlos, Robinho.
Oh yeah, so, no, they went all out in that match.
Yeah. I remember it was probably the best match I ever seen from Argentina against Brazil ever, and it was like 18 minutes and we were already 2-0 up, and then before the first half was over, Crespo added a second for his personal account, and we won it really comfortably against Brazil that time.
Zanetti and Tevez both played in that match as well, although they were substitutes. Zanetti came on in the 71st minute for Lucho Gonzalez, and Tevez came in the 82nd minute for Saviola. Now, we have a good record in Buenos Aires, but in Rosario, it's not that good. We've played against Brazil twice in Rosario, and not only have we not won once, we haven't even scored. First time we played, yeah, it's not good. The history is not on our side in Rosario. The first time we played Brazil was in 1975 at the Copa America. Brazil defeated us 1-0, and the second time was at the 1978 World Cup, where the match ended 0-0. So overall, in Rosario, it's not very comforting. But you know what? We've slowly gotten better. The first match in Rosario, we lost. The second match, we drew. Hopefully, the third match on Saturday, we could get all 3 points and get a victory.
Yeah, that's the way. That's the way to think. And also, that good omen of playing the 5th of September is also comforting. And now I know I'm looking for things to give me confidence, because I'm not really confident, and also I've been sensing a lot of negativity in the comments box on Mundo Albiceleste, and of course I'm happy to hear what all of you have to say, and everyone is entitled to your opinion, and I want to make them take advantage of this situation and the fact that I'm able to talk to all of you, and to apologize if any of you felt offended. The truth is, I was really fired up for this game. I am really fired up for this game, and I probably was a little too hard on some of you with my last few comments. I hope I wasn't, and if I did, I apologize for that. But I really enjoy this exchange of opinions and these heated discussions. I'm really all for it. So keep it coming, even if I don't agree with your opinions, please keep it coming, because that's what makes Mundo Albiceleste what it is.
Okay, moving along from where you left, Seba, and I can say that, yeah, a lot of our readers do have many, many kinds of opinions about who should be in the team and who should not be in the team. But I think as far as the forwards are concerned, I believe Diego got it right this time, because the players that he has selected for this particular World Cup doubleheader happens to be the ones that are scoring goals for their club on a regular basis. Maybe you might say not Carlos Tevez, but he did actually been, you know, he's always the same workaholic player, and he did had an assist for Adebayo in one of the Man City games. So I think this particular lineup are the currently the best that we have. Yeah, you can say that about Zarate or Higuain, but the reality is that they are not the ones that are scoring goals for their club at the moment. So it does make sense that why they are not in this team at the moment. And of course, we still have Tevez, we still have Messi. These two guys can make a lot of difference for our team. So I'm very happy with this one.
Yeah, and also the fact that it's impossible for a manager to call up 11 or 12 or 20 forwards, because Argentina, luckily for us, we have an incredible depth in that position, but it's impossible to have room for everyone. I mean, even Hernan Crespo had to sit on the bench more than he should have been sitting on the bench, and especially under Bielsa. And if he was born in any other country, he would have been their main striker, but he was playing on the shadow of Gabriel Batistuta, of course. And right now, it's not like we have a goal-scoring machine like Batistuta, but we have a lot of options up front, and it's impossible to please everyone. You have to call up midfielders and defenders too, and that's what happens when you have a lot of options up front. And one thing about Tevez, though, and even though I'm the first one to say that he's having a rather poor World Cup qualifying campaign with two red cards, a penalty miss last time he played, only one goal scored, he's far from his best form, but he still has all the other tools that we all know from Tevez, all the intangibles, all the things that are not in the stats and not necessarily on the score sheets. Of course, he loves to score and he can score, but he shouldn't be the main source of goals for our team. You may think, why shouldn't he? He's a striker or he's a forward. The reality is he works for the team and he can influence a game even without having an assist or having a goal scored. He can go for a tackle that will lift the crowd, and he could have an influence in the way their defense play the game. And the approach they have whenever they face him. He's the kind of player you want in a big match. And that's why I'm still happy with him on the team, and because he never stops and he's the people's favorite, and that's for a reason. That happens for a reason. What is your take on this, Roy?
I'm happy to have Tevez on the team. Obviously, I think any team in the world would love to have Tevez on the team. However, I would not have him starting. Tevez, for me, is like a super substitute type of thing. If you watch the France game, when we were tied 1-1, Tevez came on and... when we were up, Tevez came on and, you know, he was that spark plug that really lit up the team. Not only that, stats-wise, whenever Messi and Tevez have started, it hasn't finished very good for Argentina. Whenever Messi and Tevez have started, we've gotten two draws, six losses, and only three wins. So stats-wise, it's not very good. Sure, he's a great player, and he plays his heart out. He plays his soul out. But in the end, you need someone who could also, you know, who could finish and who could score. And Tevez right now, like you said, Seba, he's not, his form isn't the best in the world, and I think he should be going for Licha Lopez instead of Tevez.
I will be happy to see Licha too. Based on form, he is the best right now, the best option we have in front of goal. So, but the thing is, I think Maradona wants to recover Tevez, the old Tevez that we all know. He wants to recover him, and he's giving him another opportunity, and hopefully he'll repay him, and hopefully he'll get to find his old self, and be successful against Brazil. And if not, there are options on the bench, and I think with Tevez or Lisandro Lopez or Agüero or Milito, anyone he would have some reasons behind, and he would have been justified any decision he would have taken, apart from leaving Messi on the bench. I mean, that's the only decision that wouldn't be justifiable at all. And what about Messi, John? Is he in front of an opportunity to really become an idol for Argentine fans? I know worldwide, and for fans outside of Argentina, he is regarded as the best player in the world, and he is also quickly becoming an idol and an icon. But the feeling I get from fans that follow the Argentine League more than the European leagues, or only watch Messi when he plays for Argentina, the feeling I get is that they're not quite convinced that that Messi is the best player in the world. So will he have an opportunity to silence all the critics and to convince all the naysayers on Saturday?
Absolutely. And you have to say that against Brazil, this is probably the biggest platform that Messi can ever have in front of the home supporters. And a great game here, you know, a truly inspiring performance from him will definitely change the opinions of everybody who has been rather, I would say, different towards him as compared to anywhere else in the world, which I still find it a very hard thing to swallow. I just couldn't understand why exactly they have to see that way. But I guess, like what you say, they follow the domestic league more than the European league. And on top of that, there is always the expectation that they want to see Messi to play exactly the same way as he does week in, week out for Barcelona. But I guess you already have stressed this out many times, that the setups or the training schedules that he has to take part in Barca as compared to Argentina are two different things. So you can't expect the same outcome all the time.
Yeah, well, and most importantly, do you think he's going to have a great game against Brazil? Do you hope for it? Do you have a gut feeling or something?
I definitely will say he will have a big game against Brazil and a great one. I definitely feel that way. And we need everything that he has to offer for us. We definitely need it.
One thing is for sure, he's been preparing for this like he's never prepared before. He has asked Guardiola to set him free before, and to be able to skip La Liga's home debut for Barcelona against Gijón on Monday. He's been canceling couple of events that he had, and commercial compromises that he had, because he's got this game in his mind, and that's the only thing he's thinking of. And I think Messi's is growing a lot, and he's maturing a lot, and he knows how big this game is for him and for his reputation with Argentina, and of course for our chances to get to the next World Cup. I certainly hope he doesn't try to do too much. The fact that he's going to play in Rosario in front of his family and in the city where he was born could be a source of added pressure for him, but it could also be something that he needs, and something that he needs to feel better than playing at River Plate, at the Monumental. So he's hoping that he's going to have a great game, and my personal hope is that he doesn't try to do too much. I think he's done a lot in that, and he's changing a lot, and he's playing more for the game than for himself, than what he used to do before. And I think this is probably the best platform for him to show the kind of player he has become.
Definitely, Seba. The stage is set for Messi come Saturday. You know, it's in his hometown. It's against Brazil. The team needs him now more than ever. It's his team now that Riquelme quit. The pressure is on him. The pressure is on him. And I think if it doesn't happen now for Messi, it never will.
Absolutely. So, what are the odds for Messi scoring with a hand? I mean, whatever.
I'm just saying that if I actually dream that happening, I wouldn't mind actually against Brazil.
I'll tell you what.
As long as he doesn't get caught.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I will even celebrate a goal from Heinze. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I will even celebrate that. Even though if it means that he will be a starter from here to eternity, I will celebrate a goal from Heinze. I don't mind.
Like I'd celebrate a goal from Abbondanzieri right now. I wouldn't care as long as we win.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, you know. Even the keeper, if he takes up a free kick and he scores, we'll take it, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's not like we are so desperate for the win, but I would say it's more of the passion that we fans of Argentina have, that we always want to play against Brazil and we want to beat them all the time.
All right. So for the future on Mundo Albiceleste, we are sorry that we couldn't have our friend Rafael from Brazil. He's on holidays right now and he couldn't make it on time for this podcast recording. We would have loved to have the view from Brazil. He told me that he's probably going to make it for our future podcast when we review the happenings of this doubleheader of this World Cup qualifying.
Okay, guys, just to wrap things up here, you know, we've been getting a lot of votes actually on the Mundo Albiceleste poll for who should be the best player to play alongside Messi up front. And judging by the number of votes that we've been getting, I would definitely say that I will agree with the public that Lisandro Lopez should be given the chance to start alongside Messi up front. 44% of them actually voted for him. And I think they are right because at this moment, he is probably the best striker that we have right now, on fire at the moment.
Yeah, he's scoring at will. And I wouldn't have a problem, as I said, I wouldn't have a problem seeing Lisandro starting. I'll be delighted, in fact. But I'll keep my confidence high on Tevez as well.
As long as it's not Lavezzi.
Yeah, by the way, who voted for Lavezzi?
Good question.
Anyway. And also, my vote, I will disclose it here. I will tell you all here. My vote was for Diego Milito. I'm still confident that if he gets a chance to play for a couple of entire matches and if he gets a chance to play alongside Messi, the number 9 shirt will be his forever. And that's my opinion and my desire. And I would be happy to see him starting as well.
Well, my vote for me went for Lopez. He's been, like you said, he's been scoring at will and, you know, he's been on fire lately. Why not? But my second choice would be Milito ahead of Aguero and Tevez and obviously Lavezzi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a lot of votes. And I was surprised that Lisandro and Diego Milito got a lot of votes in that. Especially Diego Milito, he got the same number of votes as almost the same number of votes as Agüero, and he's a very underrated player and not as popular as Agüero or Tevez are. So that's the end of this segment. Sorry, anything else you wanted to add?
No, just whoever that was that voted for Lavezzi, you know, drop us an email or give us a comment. We definitely like to hear what was your reason behind it.
Oh, maybe it was Lavezzi.
Should be interesting.
Maybe it was Lavezzi himself. So that's the end of this segment, and we'll be right back with more.
All right, everyone, it's that time. It's the prediction time. Pretty much what we're going to do is we're going to run down all the matches from this round and give our thoughts on who's going to win. John, starting off with Colombia and Ecuador.
I definitely would want to see a win for Colombia, just in case if the result doesn't go according to our way against Brazil. Because should Ecuador win that game, you know, they're going to jump on us and we will drop to fifth position here. And at this moment of time, that's the last thing I want to happen, and that's probably the most scariest thing can happen. And I hope Colombia can do us a favor. Although I would definitely say that on paper, Ecuador looks the much better team. And my scoreline, 1-0 to the Colombia.
1-0 Colombia, that's a good result for us. And this is a crucial game for Argentina. I'll certainly be watching this. Colombia have been struggling to score goals in this World Cup qualifying campaign. And Ecuador, they don't travel very well. So I'm inclining towards the 0-0 draw. And that's also a good result for us. So it's 0-0 for me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Seba. I see a draw here. Both teams have been too inconsistent lately. And plus, a draw would benefit us greatly. Next match is Peru and Uruguay.
Okay, I'll go first. And for me, Uruguay, they are still in with a shot. They know they have to win this. Because then they have Colombia, Ecuador and Argentina in the last three matches. Peru already out of the question. I see Uruguay winning with Forlan and Luis Suarez if they play together up front. So it's for me, it's Uruguay to win 2-0.
John?
Well, for me, I'll definitely, if I had my wish, I'll definitely want Peru to create an upset here. Again, you know, just to ease off backs. But I think at the moment when you look at Peru's and their form and the way things have been going on for them in this World Cup qualifier, I guess it's might be a walk in the park for Uruguay. My prediction will be a 2-0 win with both goals coming from Diego Forlan.
Okay, I'm going to have to go with 3-0 Uruguay. I think this is going to be a thrashing. Peru, a horrible campaign. Uruguay need the points. I'm going with Uruguay. Up next is Paraguay hosting Bolivia. John?
I think Paraguay are strong at home, and I don't see how Bolivia is going to create any upset here. And my guess, it will be probably a 1-0 win to Paraguay. Santa Cruz, maybe?
All right. I'm going with a home win as well. Paraguay are not playing with their best form, but they'll have no problems to win this. I say 3-0.
Wow, huge result. No, I'm obviously going to have to go with Paraguay, probably 1-0 or 2-0. And up next is Bielsa's Chile hosting struggling Venezuela, really. Seba, your thoughts?
I think Chile is in a different category compared to Venezuela. And I see Chile winning this and maybe even securing their qualification to the next World Cup, because if they win and Ecuador fail to win at Colombia, they're through to South Africa. So I think Chile are winning this 2-0 and booking their place in South Africa.
Well, much of my prediction for this game will depend on how we play against Brazil. I would really like to see Venezuela in the World Cup, but I think at this moment, when you look at Chile's form at home, I do believe that they are more than capable enough to get the 3 points. And I'm sure the motivation to book an early ticket to South Africa is what goes on in their mind. A 2-0 win for them.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Chile has been on fire lately. 2-0, 3-0 for Chile. God knows how Bielsa wants to play this, but he's Venezuela is going to get destroyed. Last but certainly not least, the Clásico. I'm not going to make a fancy introduction. We all know what it is. Argentina, Brazil, let's get to it.
Okay, do you want to go first, John?
maybe I'll save the best for last, Seba.
Okay, so you go first, Roy.
All right. Wow, this is pretty scary. I'm going to have to go with 2-1 Argentina. The last minute goal for Messi, probably. That has to be it. Messi is going to play the game of his life, and he's going to secure the 3 points for us.
So can you say again the scoreline? I didn't hear it, but...
2-1 for Argentina, with Messi scoring a late winner.
2-1.
Yeah.
John said he's going to go last, so I'm obliged, and I will say that I'm sorry to say this, but we're gonna lose. We're gonna lose probably 2-1. And yeah, I'm not happy to say this, but I don't see us winning. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, Seba. I mean, I never expected that coming in the first place.
out of all people coming from Seba, Mr.
Yeah. Now the butterflies are really attacking my stomach. Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, when you talk about the way things have been going for us and Brazil, it does sound reasonable that we are going to lose to them. This is really tough for me. I'm going to be really diplomatic here. You know, I think the best result for us is a point, a goalless draw. I think that's the best possible result that we can get out of this match. Anything else than that, it's either a disaster or a bonus.
Wow, big words. Big words. Am I the only one here that actually thinks we have a chance at beating them?
No. Don't get me wrong. I still think we do. Probably I shouldn't say this. It's kind of a... trying to jinx them. I probably did that. But, well, you know.
Okay. All right. No, I understand.
No, I think, Roy, the confidence that you bring, it's crucial too. You know, as a fan, you know, it maybe, you know, maybe, who knows, you might be right. And from Argentina fan point of view, I really, really wish that you were right on this one.
Yeah, I certainly think the same.
I'm realistic. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we lost or if we drew, but I really think Messi has it in him to really just explode in this match and grab the team by the neck and just lead it to victory. That's what I think. Hopefully, I'm right.
Okay, guys, can I ask you for a favor?
Yeah.
Sure.
Can I change my prediction to a 2-0 home win? Come on!
that's a special privilege for any fans of Argentina, you know.
Yeah.
I'm positive again. Come on. But to be honest, it's the way I'm feeling. It's one moment I think we're gonna win. The next I think we're gonna get thrashed and. That's the way it's always been when it's Brazil coming to town. But, okay, I change it, and it's 2-0 for Argentina.
All right, there you go, Mr. Positive.
Come
all right.
On. All right.
I'm still not convinced yet, guys. I'm not going to change it at the moment.
Don't worry.
I'll let you guys know if I change my mind, say, like, 1 second before kickoff, okay?
Okay. We'll be in the chat room waiting for you. So I think that's a wrap for us. I know John had a message for all of our listeners and readers.
Well, my message to all fans of Argentina is let's keep our fingers crossed for this game. You know, this is a real big game for all of us here, and let's keep it positive. Try not to bring the negative elements. Of course, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But, you know, at this in times like this, the team really needs our support, and let's give it to them. And last words from you, Roy.
Uh, Hopefully it's a good game. Hopefully the next time we ever do a podcast, we could look back and say, you know what, John, you were wrong. Seba, on your initial prediction, you were wrong, and Roy, you were right. Hopefully, that's about it. No, I hope it's a good match, and we get the 3 points.
Yeah, and I would like to thank the support that we're getting from all the readers and people asking for us to record a new podcast, and that's really a great encouragement for us, and it keeps us going, and we certainly appreciate that, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Also, John has our email address for you to get in touch with us, and for you to participate in future editions of our podcast as guest and why not regular columnist. So get in touch with us, and John will give you the details right now.
Yeah, I mean, those of you guys who definitely have a nice soothing voice and good vocals like us here, definitely we want you guys to participate in our podcast, and the best way that you guys can do is get yourself registered on a Skype account. And if, let's say, you guys do have a Skype account, email it to us at argentina.correspondent@gmail.com, and we will take it from there and try to make some arrangement to get you guys involved in our podcast, because we definitely don't want to be a power trio. We want to be more than just a trio. We want everyone to be a part of this interesting discussion that we always have here in the podcast.
Absolutely, yeah, I second that. And okay, that's all from us on Mundo Albiceleste's podcast. Thank you, Roy, for being with us.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Seba, and thank you to all the listeners out there.
John, thank you.
Yeah, thanks to Roy, and great to have you back, and thanks to you, Seba, as well. And thanks to all the fans. Good luck, and see you guys at the chat room during the game.
Absolutely, we'll be there. Okay, so thanks again, and vamos, Argentina!